Brilliant. Hi everybody and welcome to Mindlessful. I am so delighted today to have Amy Mulvaney. Delighted I said her name right.
We're doing a few trials there. She did well.
Yeah, we have a new setup today. We're recording this live, so it's not on Zoom. And I am so delighted to have Amy here. A few weeks
Few
ago,
weeks ago, yeah.
we met for tea, and Amy was sharing her endometriosis journey with me, and it was so inspiring. And I said, you know what, you've got so much to give, and there's lots of people who need to hear this. So thank you, Amy, for being here.
Thank you for having me here. And it was so weird. I always had a feeling like the last month, I don't know if I said this to you the day we were chatting in the cafe. I felt like I was like, I think I might be on Kara's podcast, but I was like, not like where I'm ringing up Kara and being like, Kara, can I go on your podcast? It's more like if it kind of like flows organically or something. And when I was chatting that day, then and it just your face was like, do you know what I want to say to you now, Amy? And I was like, podcast, like, yeah, I think you need to come on for an episode. And I suppose here we are
Here we are.
now. So yeah, I suppose it's going to be about like endometriosis, and I will explain what that is. But I suppose in terms of like my story, I suppose kind of like how do I start my story explaining kind of my journey? And for me, it definitely goes back to like being a young girl and probably being like 13 or 14 years old and having first period. So for any person, that's always like, you know, you'll always want to remember
Yeah,
it.
a big deal.
It's a big deal. Yeah, it is. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like your mommy going, oh, you're a woman now. That kind of, and you might think like, oh, you get a day or two off school and you might be curled up on the, you know, the couch watching your favorite program and hot water bottle and maybe tea and chocolate, and you're like, yes, I'm missing school for a day or two. That kind of sounds like, you know, like every teenager's dream when you're that age. But my story was like really, really different. So like that, I probably was 13 or 14, and I obviously got my first menstrual cycle. I was at home, but it just was like absolute carnage. It wasn't like, do you know where you have it? Like, oh, I feel crap in myself, or I might feel a bit tired, or I have a bit of a cramp. Like mine was just like really, really intense from like just as soon as it arrived into my life. So like I, to put it really simply, like I hemorrhaged and I hemorrhaged and I hemorrhaged so much so that like I couldn't leave the house. I couldn't hardly leave the toilet. Like that's how intense it was. I'm so grateful I was at home and I wasn't like at school, because I suppose it, you know, it's when it arrives, it's obviously going to arrive whenever. It's not like scheduling for like you're at home, so you're fine. But it did for me. And yeah, and I didn't know what, like I was kind of like, is this normal? Like to this extent, like it was so bad that like, as I said, I couldn't leave the house. And then the kind of the first night, I remember I went to bed and I woke up during the middle of the night, and like I remember putting my hands out and everything just felt, it was so weird, but like felt wet. And I remember I was like, oh my God, I was like, please, please, please don't be this bad. And I remember like getting out of bed and going to turn on like the light switch, and I knew what I was going to see. Like I knew what I was going to see, but I was like, you know, I was 13 or 14, and I feel like I was still like a little girl. Do you know, if you think of any like little 13 or 14 year old, and I turned on the light, and like it was like the only way I can describe it, it was like a murder scene. Like my hand, it looked like I had savagely like murdered someone. My hands were just drenched. And I know this might be uncomfortable for some people because it's like it is talking about blood and stuff, but it's just kind of, I suppose, to help spread awareness. But like yeah, like it was like a sea of red in front of me. And all I kept thinking, and I remember being like, I think I'm going to bleed to death, because it wasn't stopping, Gary. This wasn't just, this had surpassed now just like, oh, it's your first period, maybe it's a little bit heavy. This was like, I had known that, like I was like, once, you know, my tank is empty, like your blood is your life force. Once that's gone, like I'm gone. There's no like, no human can like defy against those odds. You know, it doesn't matter if you're the smartest person, the richest, the nicest, the horriblest. You know, like it's straight back to when you're a human, you're a human. And I remember thinking, I was like, this isn't being replenished. So like, what's leaving me is leaving me. It's not like, it's not being replenished. So I'm not getting like a top up. And I was started to like black out as well, and like kind of go unconscious. And I remember I made it to like the bathroom, and like I remember, you know, I was moved on mirror work. So you're looking at yourself. This was probably like my first experience, I'm going to say, of like mirror work. I remember looking into my eyes, and you know that saying, like someone's like, they look like death warmed up, or they're like dead behind the eyes. I was like, there was like nothing there. I was like, I actually think, like, I remember saying, I actually think I'm going to die, because it wasn't like I was still hemorrhaging, like it wasn't stopping. And I was like, I was really small, like I was like a size 6 probably back then, so there was nothing to me. So I knew the volume that had like left my body, you could say, to what was nearly what could have been left. I was like, you know, that's not like, you don't have to be an expert to kind of, and 13, like so young. And I remember looking in my eyes, and I was like, I just look dead. I was like, I think I'm going, like, I remember I was saying, I think I'm going to die, because I was blacking out. Like, I was just the, like, I didn't have enough to give. And I remember then just being like, I don't think I said the words, but I remember I just like, could someone please like just save me or help me, someone. And then like I just, everything just went black. So like I just obviously like collapsed or passed out. So then obviously like my parents would have found me, and I was brought straight into hospital. And I think I was brought into obviously like A&E, as you would be. I think I was like seen straight away. And I always remember, I don't know if she was a nurse or a doctor, but obviously when you're being admitted and they're telling you, you know, if you're getting the details of why you're in hospital. And obviously when she was told, I remember her coming over to me, and she had such a look of like kind of like sadness for me. She was like, Amy, she was like, what you just went through was not normal. She was like, if you had just given birth naturally over and over and over and over to me, like octuplets, she's like, you still wouldn't have sustained the level of loss that you just went through. She's like, I don't know how you're alive. And I was just like, I was so like, I was 13, 14, and I was like out of it. And I just was like, okay, this isn't, I was so relieved to know it wasn't normal. And then I thought, like, and you know the saddest part is, look, girl, I was like, I'm in hospital now. I was like, they're going to look after me. They're going to like, what would your first thought be? But like, she'll get a blood transfusion. Like, I got nothing.
Wow. But like, the hope, there was something there within you.
Yeah. And I was like, surely they'll give me something to like, you know, boost me back up, to bring me back to life nearly. And they just, they literally told me to eat more red meat, and that was it.
And they sent you home.
I got no, like, I mean, I had never heard of any kind of anything, maybe like, you know, menstrual imbalances or anything going on. But like, I was like, surely they'll like look into something. And I was thinking, I thought I was so naive. I was like, they're the adults. Like, they'll surely, like, they'll look after a little girl. Because even when I think back, I was like, I would never want a young girl to go through, like, I said, it surpassed like just your first menstrual cycle. This was like, like severe loss, like on another level, that like I'd say only paramedics or a horror movie you would see. Like, you would never hope anyone sees that much. Like, and it's an image, like, it doesn't haunt me, but it always stays with me, because I was like, I have never seen that much in my life, and I hope like I never do, because it was just such a volume. And like that, though, they'll definitely do something. But I was given nothing. And like, my body went into such survival mode, because my head then was like, I remember thinking like, okay, so how much red meat can I eat to build myself up? And then like, is this going to happen next month? And I was like, what if this happens if I'm in school or I'm on the bus? I was like, I can't do, like, how am I supposed to be a teenager or play with my friends? You know, like the innocence of just being that young and kind of like just figuring, you know, your teenagers out. And I was like, I can't do anything. Like, I was like, how am I supposed to manage? So, like, I remember being like, I wouldn't have realized at the time, but it was obviously like anxiety or like just pure survival. And like, thankfully, it never went to that level. But every month I was like, what will it be? Like, it wasn't just a case of, oh, it's day one, you know, I've just got cramps. This is like, it was like, it was real survival mode for me. I just was like, what how potentially bad could it get? So that was like in my brain for so long. As I said, it never ever was to that degree, like the first time, but I always was like, it could, like, because I was given no answers either. So I kind of was like, what if like something like that could happen? And then I suppose throughout my teenagers, like us all, like I did go on the pill because it was nearly like a rite of passage, wasn't it? When and you don't mean, well, I knew, I didn't know much about it. And it was just kind of like, well, it'll kind of, you know.
But it was something nearly that you thought, oh, it will help.
So I think that definitely masked like probably stuff that was going on in my body. Until I was probably like 24, 25, I never like been on it. And it was, I kind of felt like, I remember I used to get like really bad migraines and I'd feel really, I just didn't feel myself on it. And I know I wasn't on, thankfully, any other medication or anything. So I kind of wanted to wean myself off it. So around 24, 25, I did. And then I kind of wanted to check in with my own body and my own kind of, I guess, like natural cycle. Yeah. And I remember like, the first day of say like a natural cycle when you come off the pill and your body's regulating itself. And like I was working in social care at the time, like it was like a family support work, and I remember I was getting ready to go in to work that morning. And I mean, I was doubled over. Like the pain is like, as I said, it's not just, you know, we see the ad, it's like take a Femex and you know, like here's a Panadol and you know that'll ease the cramp. Like this is like, it really is another level. Like it really, really is another level of pain. And I just was like, it took, I was like on all floor, on fours. I couldn't breathe even. And I was like, how am I supposed to go to work? I think I just ate my way through painkillers and just kind of like, you know, got on with it. So I kind of knew something. I was like, that level, I was like, that can't be right. There was something in me that was like, that was really, really severe and intense. So I went to my doctor and I was kind of like, I think I was sent for an ultrasound. So I kind of, I suppose I went for an ultrasound. And when I went for that, they were kind of, and they never kind of really tell you that, you know, you'll get your results back to your doctor, you know, that kind of way. So when I went back to my doctor and she's like, oh, they have said, they can see there's like a small cyst, like I think a 3 or 4 centimeter cyst on your left ovary. So sure, I was like, okay, a cyst that can cause pain, but like, but it's not a normal cyst. So I was like, okay, they're like, it's an endometrioma. So you have endometriosis. And I was kind of like, never had heard of like any of the, that I was like, kind of like endo what now? And I suppose what endometriosis is, it's kind of where like, so endometrial like tissue in the body can grow and attach itself onto, I suppose, parts of the body. And it's not just where it's like, it's, a lot of people think it's okay, it's endometrium, so it's endometrium, like it's not the endometrium lining of the womb. So when you think the endometrium lining of the womb, that sheds, and I suppose women, you have your menstrual bleed. So it has, endometriosis has characteristics like it, but it's not it. So it's a whole body disease. But if you think about it, it's like when your, that tissue internally causes like pain, inflammation, it can cause organs to attach and kind of bind onto each other. It can cause adhesions, internal bleeding. So it's a whole body disease. A lot of people think it's just like, it's a gynecological condition, but it's not. Like it can, it's been found like in the lungs, it's in the brain. So it's a whole body. So it can, like it can, I suppose essentially like it can grow and spread. So the doctor at the time told me, it was like, oh, it's just, it's like where the endometrium, the lining of the womb grows outside the womb. And I was like, okay, so it's just, in my head, I was like, okay, so it's just related to my womb, like possibly ovaries, fallopian tubes, because that's what the definition she told me. But that wasn't right, but I suppose that's what she told me. So I kind of went with that concept and I was like, okay, that's what it is. And then she's like, we're going to monitor you. So you'll come back in a few months. The main treatment, I suppose, is hormone contraception. Yeah. I had, because I had such severe reactions to already being on hormonal contraception, I was really like, I didn't want to go on it because it just like, I just had really bad side effects. So I was kind of like, okay, I'm going to try and see if I can just manage it. maybe through, you know, supportive lifestyles, like through diet or stuff like that. Again, there is no cure for it, but I was like, can I see if I can manage it? And yeah, so I came back in like, I think every 3 or 4 months, and every time I went back, the cysts were getting bigger and bigger. And I was like, okay, so it's growing and it's growing. At this time, I only thought as well, I was like, well, it's only, they say it's only because it's part of the, you know, reproductive system. I was thinking, okay, so it's only just this part of my body. It's not going to spread, but like it can and it does. But again, that was the information that I was given.
And even when you're saying that, like I was unaware of
A lot of people do. Like, and I suppose there is, even at the minute, like it can be so hard to find the right information because there is a lot of, and this is no disrespect to doctors in Ireland, but there is a lot that would say it's just like, it's where the endometrium tissue grows outside the womb.
Yeah.
And that, and obviously people are like, well, there are doctors, so of course they know. So that's the right definition, but it's not like, it's not, it's a whole body. As I said, it's endometrium like tissue. Okay. So it has similar characteristics, as if it can cause that internal bleeding, which might cause adhesions, which might cause, like I said, I had an endometrioma. So that was like, it's called like a chocolate cyst, which sounds, you know, not the nicest, but that's where like, it's like blood.
Okay.
So like, that's what that cyst is made of. It's that endometrium like tissue. So that's what that is. So yeah, I suppose I was kind of like being monitored and being monitored, but like they just kept growing and growing, Cara. Like, I mean, at one stage, my left, it started out in the left side, then it went to the right. So at one stage, like my left ovary had like a 17 centimeter cyst and my right had like a 14 centimeter.
Wow.
So you can imagine, like, I'm not really good at mathematics, but like, that's huge.
Well, like, I suppose to give people listening,
I think something like, I don't know, like
a mandarin or
something, like massive, like they were huge. So at that stage, then I got their doctor, okay, we need to see a gynecologist, because I was just kind of being monitored with, like, you know, ultrasounds and going to my own GP. And I was starting to do my own research then, kind of into it, because I was like, what? Like, said, okay, there's no cure, but I was like, these are growing. And I was like, what on earth am I like? What am I meant to do? I was like, I was just so fearful, because it's your ovaries and even like fertility and as a woman and everything, like so many thoughts go through your head. So I remember going in to see the gynecologist, and they were like, because it goes in stages, like stage 1 to like mild, moderate, severe, kind of like, you know, other illnesses or conditions, you'll hear that. And she's like, you're quite severe, Amy. So she was like, your only option is to shut down your hormone system, put you into like menopause, basically. And because like the huge potential is you just lose your ovaries. So I was like, okay. And they're like, so in hormonal contraception, I think, I can't remember what it's called, but it was an injection, Depo-Provera, maybe that one. There's so many. And again, I'm not a medical expert, but like, I'm such a sensitive being. Like I always reacted to medications. My mother would say, like, I just always had a general reaction of some sort. Like, I don't even can take really Panadol.
Yeah,
like,
that you'll really feel.
Yeah, it's just the way I am. Yeah. So I was just like, the side effects were just monumental. And again, some women take it and they need it. And I'm always like, absolutely no judgment. Like, you have to do, it's your body at the end of the day. Absolutely do what resonates with you. But like, my gut was screaming at me like, Amy, no. And at the time I was doing research. So there was like the Endometriosis Association of Ireland, their chairperson, her name was Kathleen King. And she's like such an amazing advocate for women with endometriosis. And the information, it was her that I was able to get the right information. So I kind of went down a rabbit hole of going to like there and looking at center of excellences in other countries just to figure out like what treatment. So you can have surgery.
Yeah.
And again, surgery, it's not a cure, but it's like, I suppose, a preventative measure to help support. But there's two types. So there's one called ablation surgery, and then there's a golden standard, which is called excision. So think of it like, say if you had a weed in the garden, right, and you wanted to get rid of it.
Yeah.
The ablation would kind of like come along and just cut the top layer of it off, but the root is still in the soil, so the likelihood it's going to grow back.
Okay.
So it's kind of like nearly surface level,
like just a short term.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Whereas the excision is kind of, I said, it's the golden standard. So it, like, say if it was the weed, it's going down into the soil to cut out the root. So the likelihood of it coming back is less. It's more of intense surgery naturally
mm-hmm.
because it's more intensive. So recovery and everything. So I was like, okay, so I now know that there's two treatment options, but the golden standard, like the best possible option, is to have this surgery called excision surgery.
Okay.
So I remember going into the gynecologist then, and I was like, because they were on about then having surgery for me. So I was like, okay, so it's going to be excision. And they're like, what's, and it's keyhole, that's done through keyhole
okay.
surgery. She was like, no, I'd be opening up hip to hip and like have like cyst, something like, what's it called, that it's on your ovary, cystotomy. I'm probably butchering that name, but it's like surgery on your ovaries.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, but I had heard about like, you know, excision surgery, this being like the golden standard. And they were like, they kind of like no concept of it. So
Wow.
I was like, you want to, but this can be done through keyhole, like really small little incisions by a train, you know, like a gynecologist that is like, you know, extensively trained
Yeah.
and has done that level of like training for endometriosis and care. And you know, and they were just like, no, I don't, we don't do that, kind of basically. And then I was like, again, my whole body was like, I am not being open up hip to hip. I always say, think of it like if you had a Ferrari car and it needed servicing, you'd have to like, because, and I was always like, God, like the womb, the ovaries, like that's such a sacred space. I was like, if you had a Ferrari, you want to make sure that you're going to a Ferrari specialist. You're not
Yeah.
going to go down to John down the road, the local garage man. Not that there's anything wrong with John, but
No.
you know, like you want to make sure, because like you've, like it's your Ferrari.
Yeah.
So like I was like,
And you
I can't,
deserve to have the
yeah,
best
exactly,
possible
to what that is.
treatment.
And again, it's not disrespecting the Irish doctor, but I was just like, my whole gut was like, no, Amy, no. And I was like, oh, I can't do that. And they were like, you're going to lose your ovaries if you don't. And I remember going, I was like, I'm going to have to choose like my own mental health at the minute over my reproductive health. I was like, and even I was like, if I strip it back in, it was like, I need my foundations right first. And I was like, sure, what good would I be if I became a mother and was like, not my, like, do you know that kind of,
Yeah.
I was like, I would be no good to anyone anyways.
Yeah.
So I was like, I need to like get my foundations right, which is my body, like first, and like I need to sort that out. I was like, I understand, but I suppose for endometriosis, a lot of it, and what I've experienced, because again, I can only go from what my experience is, but a lot of it boils down to whether or not you want to become pregnant or not. That's kind of like the
Okay.
criteria. And like, and it does affect fertility, and I can understand that, but I'm also like, it should be like someone's life should be just as valuable, and like how it impacts their life, regardless of bringing that into it, you know,
Yeah.
as well. Like, and I remember I was discharged because they were like, well, there's nothing more we can do for you because you won't take our
Because it
advice.
wasn't A or
Yeah.
B.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
they were like, we'll just discharge you from the HSE.
Wow.
So, and I remember driving home, and like, I remember going into the woods, like kind of where I live, not close by, and, or close by, should I say. And I just was like, I was bawling crying because I was like, excuse my language, I was like, what the fuck am I going to do? I was like, I want to give myself the best choice. I was like, here's what they're telling me. They don't really seem to understand kind of this level golden standard treatment. So I was like, I'm not just going to give myself any old, like I've heard people that have been opened up and been like, oh, it's all, you know, endometriosis, it's everywhere. And they've been closed back up. Like women have contacted me and said this, like, and I'm like, and they're like, there's nothing we can do for you. And I was like, imagine, like, I was like, that shouldn't be the case, but it's the reality for so many in Ireland. So I was like, what am I going to do? I was like, I don't know. So I was very like I'm holistic anyway, so I was doing my reflexology.
So you got into
yeah
that
I kind
along
of
the,
yeah
yeah.
I was in the anyways, and I was using stuff like that again as a supportive tool, because nothing is like a quick fix.
Yeah.
But like I was using that for like kind of pain support, even going for acupuncture I found really good, and kind of just trying to like, I was like a yoga teacher as well, and I wasn't a yoga teacher then, but like I was always doing yoga, so I had these little tools that just helped me along. Or I was trying to like, I was kind of following maybe like, you know, dietitians and nutritionists that maybe had more of that knowledge of like kind of like how diet, you know, for an anti-inflammatory. So I was looking towards people like that, maybe I can take nuggets of information that would help. And then I went to the Endometriosis Association of Ireland had like a big open day in Dublin. So I remember I ended up with my mom, and they were inviting kind of like expert kind of consultant gynecologists from like, one was from Romania, one was from the UK, and they had a consultant from Ireland, and they were kind of just giving information. And I had sat down, like there was hundreds of us, and I remember I sat down beside a girl And she was, you could tell she's in pain. And she's like, oh, I've just come back from Romania to have surgery. And I always remember going like, God, that is just so mad that she had to go to Romania. She couldn't get treatment here in Ireland. I was like, imagine having to do that. Like, little did I know that like that's what I was going to do. But I just happened to sit, like, I just, and her name was Amy as well. I remember I just happened to sit beside her. And I remember then, like, the consultants were having like a Q&A panel. So people were throwing up questions. But the one thing that I can't remember what the questions were, but what always stuck out in my head was that the consultants from the UK and Romania were just miles ahead of the consultant in Ireland. And I felt like that just represented, this is Ireland versus, UK and Europe in terms of like the standard that they know. Like, they just were able, like, they just had it because they were trained. They were doing so many certain, like, their level, there was no comparison. You could see, like, they just wiped the floor with her, basically. And you could nearly see she was nearly getting a bit, like, not annoyed, but like, she just, the level of what I suppose, I was like, she's representing Ireland in my head and what Ireland can offer women right now. And I was like, we're just so far behind in terms of like what is out there. So that really kind of planted that seed in my head that I was like, maybe I might have to go abroad to get actually the proper, to give myself the best possible, like, chance. So like this was probably in 20, this is definitely before like 2020, so maybe 2018, 2019. And I still was having pain. Now I did have a procedure to like help, I suppose you could say, like drain the cyst. I went privately, but that again is just like, it's a temporary
And did it
solution.
help
It did, like, it
clean
relieved
it?
pressure because, as you can imagine, like, now I didn't have like, I didn't look bloated or, because you imagine thinking like 17 centimeter and like I think it was 14 or something. Like, that's a huge mass. And it was like, and as I know, like, it's not nice, a description, but it was like, I suppose it was like old blood and gunk, because that's what is like the endometrium, like, tissue and kind of what its characteristics are. So it was just like, yeah, just, I suppose, crap, for want of a
And it was
better
either
building.
side of
Yeah,
your body,
and they
is
were
it?
in my ovaries, so they can be on, but they were in. So the scan showed as well that they say like your ovaries are kissing. So like my ovaries weren't even in, like, here. They were tied behind the back of my womb, so they weren't even in the right. So like I was always like, my poor ovaries are like going through so much. Like, they're not even in the right position. They have these massive cysts, and I was like, they're still there, but they're going through so much that I was just like, I had that procedure. It was temporary. I did give relief, but I was kind of like, if I can just get that for the time being to kind of give me a bit of like, I suppose just a bit of like comfort more than anything. And then I was like, I kind of made the decision that I was going to go to Romania to have surgery. So I went in 2021, in April of 2021, when the whole country was in lockdown. That was like, when back in the time when we still couldn't travel past your 5K, it was still where there was hotels where, like, if you flew back from a certain
You
country,
had to
like, yeah.
stay.
So like, I mean, the whole world, like, for a time to go, it was probably like, yeah. But I was going, and I was really like, it brought another level of anxiety because, like, I mean, I was thinking like, I have to get so many PCR tests. Like, if I get over there, I could get over there grand, and then like I could have a test, just a pre on a negative. Like, literally, I was like, I am taking such a chance, but I'm going with it. So I went over, and thankfully, like, it all kind of, it did, it flowed. Like, it really did. I really felt really like kind of divinely supported, because I remember I was always like, just kind of like, I would say to like my granddad, like, that's no longer, I was just like, granddad, just please send me, like, I was like, I just need a butterfly or a feather. I was like, I just need something to like nearly just regulate my nervous system to know I'm okay, because I was like, I'm in a foreign country, I've never had
And you were
surgery
by
before.
yourself.
No, I was with someone at the time, so they were with me. But I wouldn't have, you definitely would need someone
Oh
with you,
yes,
kind of like as a carer really, because like you're going in for major surgery. But like, I remember the days going into the hospital, or like, I would see like feathers all the way, or the butterflies flying around. So I kind of was just like, I just had this feeling, or nearly inner knowing, I was like, I think I'd be okay. But I was still like scared shitless, to put it, because I hadn't even as much as a stitch. Like, I was very lucky, but like nothing. So I remember like going in, and like language, like the nurses did have, because Ireland is actually one of their main clientele. So the amount of Irish women that travel over to Romania, and that's just one country, to have this surgery is like huge. I write a form and it was something from the HSC, and he was like, oh, that's the HSC form. I was like, yeah, they like, because they had so, the volume of women that go is like monumental, like it's huge, because that level can't be got currently in Ireland. So yeah, I was in hospital, I had my surgery, and like, again, it wasn't a cure, like there's no cure, but it was the best possible, I suppose. Like, I'm so grateful that I was able to have surgery by an expert, like, you know, that kind of way. So grateful. But I suppose it was then there that I kind of like, I started, like I said, I was always very holistic and kind of like spiritual. So I was definitely, I knew I needed surgery. I wasn't like anyway, like, you know, kind of disillusioned to that. Like I knew like I wasn't going to be thinking happy thoughts and I'm going to just like feel better. Like I knew I needed surgery. Like there was like, I was very like, matter of fact, that was the reality. But I suppose then I remember just being in the hospital and like being in recovery there for a few days, and something just kind of like started to shift, especially in that year 2021. I kind of was just getting more mindful of kind of like, even just from meditating or just like dropping into the womb space. And as I said, endometriosis, it's a whole body, but I also knew like it was affecting, like, because like it was on my ovaries, it was in the back of my womb, like it was in my bowels. I had to have like a bowel resection, some of it, because I had infiltrated. That's why I say it's a whole body. So it's not just like the reproductive system. But I also knew that like, I suppose my womb space and my ovaries felt like they had taken such a battle with it. So I really kind of wanted to just try and like drop into like that space. And so I remember like being in hospital, I said like something just shifted in me. I remember like you'd be there and like every day we had like a physio come in. And I was so grateful, like when I was first admission in, I was put into the room, this little old probably like Romanian lady. And I was like, she's not going to have a word of English. And I was like, oh, this will be great for a few days now. But I actually got moved, and there was another girl my age, and she had like amazing English. So it was just like perfect. So like we were like bed buddies. So like, and she was in there having the same surgery as me as well. So like we'd be there every day, kind of like, when you have surgery, of course, anyone that has any type of surgery, like you're battered and bruised from it. But when you have like major kind of like major surgery, but what they do is like they fill up, they pump up your stomach with like CO2. So obviously you can see everything better. Yeah. Like you can distinguish between organs and stuff. And that's only obviously me being really simple. I'm not a doctor, but the gas after it is like, that is probably the most painful thing, because it can shoot up into like your shoulder blades up into the abdomen lungs. So it's like, it's a really intense pain. So I was mentally preparing for it, but it's literally like someone wins you. It's so intense. So trying to get out of bed, like I remember in the morning, we'd be just kind of like, we'd be helping each other, but then the physio would be like, come on girls, time to get moving. And you'd be like, it was actually like, I felt like I was just in the ring with like Mike Tyson or something, and like trying to push yourself off the bed. And I was like, I don't think I'll ever walk again. I was like, this is, it was just like, it was like the pain of it was just, and like you still have like, you know, your blood bags and your calf, you know, all the bags hanging out. You're like, so you're trying to like, you know, wrap them up and get yourself, and then you're like wobbling down, like you literally feel like you're like a 19-year-old. And I'm sure there's some 19-year-olds that are like rocking life, so I'm not saying that either. But I just was like, oh my god. And I remember, and I actually like, I had gotten like my acupuncturist, she was like, her husband's a is he a naturopath or a homeopathy, but she gave me these little remedies to take that you can, that like you still take along, like obviously I was still taking like the pain meds and you know, the usual crap you get mainstream medicine. She gave me these to take as well, and they don't interfere, so you can take them and they help with like wound healing and supporting against like infection, you know, all the stuff that you'd be susceptible to with when you go for surgery. And they were in like a little white bag, and they're like little white pills, so it probably looked like drugs. I never, but see, I had them just because I knew when I came out, I was like, I'm probably not going to know my arse from my elbow, like obviously just surgery. So I had like my little bottle of water with my straw and my little pills, because they're like, as soon as you come out of the surgery, you know, you can started taking them. And like the nurses had moved on my stuff, but they left it there. But then I was like, they could think this one's on anything. Like, so there I was like wobbling down, and I remember just being like putting my hand on my womb, and I just be like, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Thank you. Like, I just literally was just like, you're amazing. I was just kind of, and I said they were like, this one from Ireland is like half cut on something, but I was just like, I was like, I don't care. I was like, and I was, I that was the first time I really ever, like, I really feel emotional saying it, but like dropped into my womb space and was like, I'm so grateful that like, you know, I still had my ovaries when I was told like 4 or 5 years ago, they were like, you're going to lose them. And I was like, no, I'm not. I was like, there's something in me. I was like, I'll find a way. There'll be some, I don't know. I'll find a way somehow. And even the doctor over there, he was like, Amy, he was like, I'm going to go in and do surgery on you. And he was like, you will have your ovaries. And he was like, because like the difference is I am doing these like 10 surgeries a week, and he has a multidisciplinary team as well. So he said, like, he's going in with other surgeons. So if there's endometriosis on the bladder or on the bowel, he has like a bowel surgeon there. So it's a multidisciplinary team where I think they are starting to incorporate that here in Ireland. But before, it would just be a gynecologist. So if they notice, okay, it's spread to like Kara's bowel, but like, I'm not a bowel surgeon. Yes, so I can remove this bit of endo, but I'm still leaving that bit. And he would, and I think as well, I don't know if it's the case, but someone told me, I think, is it like surgery is like, time chair, okay, this is a 2 hour surgery, whereas over there, like, if it's 2 hours, yeah, but if it's going to be 4 hours, I'm going to keep going until I get it all. He doesn't like leave it, he just keeps going. So even to know that, like, I felt so like complete stranger in a complete different country, but I was like, I'll hand over my life to you, because I just feel so like more assured with you than I have even just from speaking, just from being in hospitals here at home. I was like, whatever you say, I was like, I know you got me. Like, it I trust you. Yeah. And even like, and it's so weird. Like that morning we're down to surgery. Like I actually had to walk myself down to the theater, which is very strange. Because usually you get on the trolley. But I remember the nurse coming in and like, I was going, so I was like, this is so weird. Like I'm walking myself into like, so I go down to say like the theater floor. And it felt like I was going into like the ER, you know, like, you know, episode of ER, because all these doors, like it was really fancy. And they slide over and there's a surgery happening, there's a surgery there, and you can see the team. And I was like, this is so bizarre. And there I am in my little like gown, and and then walking into like the surgery room, where there's like probably like, I don't know, there was like 8, 9, 10 people there. And like, it's so surreal, because obviously, like, when you think about it, if anyone's gone for surgery, I'm sure if you're listening to this, like, you're obviously like, you know, you're naked underneath your gown, obviously, because you're going for surgery. And then they were like, Amy, just strip there and hop onto the bed. And I was like, this is so bizarre. I was like, I'm just going to strip naked now in front of like 8 or 9. And it actually, it was mostly men. I was like, and I'm going to hop myself on this operate. But again, I still felt, I was like, I still feel oddly like really safe. Like, and it was so like, and even I was kind of like, there was this big green, like, I think I was like Archangel Raphael. I was, and then there was this really, like, there was so much green in the room. And I was like, no, I'm all right. And I'm like, I mean, I think they put like, they gave me the end, I was gone. Like I didn't have to count, and I was just out for the count. Like I knew I would be. I said, I bet you I'd be gone before they even look at me. Like, but it was just like so surreal to walk yourself down there and to do that. But I felt so like, I felt really safe. Yeah. I can't explain it, even though language and everything. I was like, I just felt like I'd be okay. I was just like, I'll be okay. I was like, whatever happens. And like my surgery went over, I think it was like a 6 hour surgery rather than a 4 hour. And because like they found more. So obviously they were longer in there. But yeah, that really shifted, like, I suppose, even just the dynamic of kind of dropping into the womb space. So I would even just do that really simple, like hand to heart, hand to womb. And like that can be so like, that can be really emotional to do, like really, because I know even from like working with women or anything, some people I never even, you know, the womb is like, it's either, you know, it's a nuisance, or like, yeah, I carried my child, or maybe there's fertility issues and they're like, it's just the plague, or like the dynamic. And I totally get that again, I can understand 100%. Like, I mean, I so understand, but I can't explain it. Something in me was just like, I just want to change the narrative for how I speak or think about it. And like, and even I suppose from finding Reiki or Rahani, and even just that, like that, again, it's just like self-care in a really nurturing, nourishing way. And so from after my surgery, then like I really did go down like a path of like trying to support myself, like whether it be like I found cacao. And I think cacao is a really beautiful like plant medicine. Like the lady that I got mine off was like Mandalay, so it's magic earth, and she actually has her story of how she worked with cacao And she has her own womb story as well. So I really kind of like resonated with that. And kind of, I suppose I kind of went to women's circles then, and just really powerful. Like I'd like some really random, crazy stories as well, but just really powerful like shifts. And it was just part for me. I know some people might, you know, for them it's 100% medical. I know that, and I get that. I was like, absolutely, like each to their own. My son was like, I am a mixture of both, and I need that just to honor myself. And like, there is no like, mum be like, where are you off to today? To some hippie then? I'm like, I suppose you're probably true. She'd be like, oh, I find you under a hammock somewhere. Oh. And I was like, you probably could, mum, you probably could.
Well, we're all here, we're all
and I suppose I am really like open-minded. I was like, I understand that for some people they can't go there, like it has to be very maybe black and white, and the other people, like, they are a bit more open-minded, or maybe it's a weave of different stuff. And I think that is me. But I'm also like, life is hard enough and everyone's journey is different. So like I said, like, I still have endometriosis. Like, I don't know what that means in terms of like fertility down the line and stuff. But like, I suppose everything I have done, I always am like, it's to like support like my womb, my ovaries, my whole body, because it is a whole body. Like, but I suppose I know those areas make up, like there was a lot there. So even just to try and like support myself in the best way possible. True low, and I think there is no one size fits all. So even like symptoms of endometriosis, like when I said that, going back to my first period, that was like a like really heavy bleeding can be like a sign, or like really incredible, like painful. And I mean pain, like they relate to it being on the same level as experiencing a heart attack. So like that's the level of pain. Again, it's not like pain where it's like oh, I'm just, you know, I'm really bad cramps. Like it's literally the same, they say, as experiencing, for some women it can be that intense of like a heart attack. If you imagine like maybe like, you know, you might imagine a loved one having a heart attack, you think, God, that's a once in a lifetime, you hope they never ever have to go through something like that. And some women, like, they could be experiencing that like every day. Like, that's the intense. And you can imagine, like, your body's just in such survival mode, like, and then you put life on top of it, where it's, you know, like, it's a job, family, relationships, even just like if you wanted to enjoy your own hobbies or what makes you you, just like because for some women, like, it's pain every day. Like, it's not just the menstrual cycle, it's like every day, because depending to the extent they have it, depending where it is, like, it's so varied and individual. But yeah, like, the pain is just, it's something that's like, you really have to experience it, which I hope you people, like, you don't have to, but it is like that way to understand like how it like takes your breath away. They say it's like barbed wire wrapped around your organs and then it's just being shredded apart. Like, it's just like, it's like, I think I have a really good pain threshold, not that that's like a badge of honor, but it's just like, yeah, it's just like next level. Like, it really is. And I think even like only for little things, maybe like breath work or stuff sometimes, and I'm like, that probably keeps me somewhat sane. If it's a bad pain day, then I'm like, oh my God, like, you're like, sometimes you're like, will it ever end? Like, is this what life is going to be like? Like, it's a real roller coaster. Like, it's a real, real roller coaster. There's no like, you can't sugarcoat it, but there is like lots of different supports out there. And there's even like, there's so many amazing, like, even like holistic practitioners that work with, even doing like, that are trained or done whether it's like, you know, womb massages. There's different, again, everything is supportive.
And you can see it a lot more.
And like, it's like, if there's supportive tools. I always say nothing is ever a quick fix. I don't think you're going to take this supplement or like have this one session or something and like, boom, you're happy for it. Like, if only, like, that would be like amazing. But like, but there is, like, there is stuff out there. Even like, there is, I always look to, like, I do look to other countries like Australia. There's loads of like dietitians and nutritionists, and they're looking into like how diet can, again, it's a supportive tool. But there is stuff out there, and like, it will resonate. I think it's about finding maybe what resonates with you, what like works for you in your body, because what worked for me, Karen, might not work for you, and vice versa, in that kind of way.
But by you sharing this is going to help so many, because I'm here listening.
I know there's probably so much I said there, and that's even like, to be honest, that's a really like just like simplified version, to be honest. Like, I have like yeah, I always, as I said, like, no little girl should go through that for like your first period. And I always think, like, I don't have a daughter or a child, but I was like, if you're listening to her and imagine thinking, like, if I had a daughter, like, I would, like, I don't know, I would just try and go to hell and earth to make sure that she, like, just no, she's not going to go through that, like, because just no child should, like, I think of any child, I'm like, I would never. And like, I know I was very instant, probably because, well, thankfully social media wasn't, I think maybe people, but like, you know, like, I was still like, do you know, I was still a fairly innocent little thing, and I'm so grateful I was. But like, I was just like, you know, you still might be a teenager, but there's still that element of childhoodness. Do you know, like, you can all think back to that time, and even you also probably wanted your mom or maybe your older sister or someone to kind of like lean into for that support, or like that kind of like, oh, you're in it with me too, kind of. And I'd be like, I would never, yeah, it would just like, I would never want any child. But I know for some, like me, like, it could have been to that level of like, just, yeah, severity, like,
Yeah, and
yeah.
someone might listen to this and they may have children at home or teenagers, and it's so important to share it.
And even I also think as well, like, I always say, like, again, it's not to bad my doctors here or anything, but like, if you get like, I mean, I was told, oh, it was just in my head that it couldn't be possible. And I remember, and this is when I was in hospital, and I remember the doctor saying that to me, and I was like, I hear buddy, I was like, you can actually just look on my chart there and you'll see like 17 centimeter cyst. And I was like, you know, I'm all free. I said, I can take different perspectives, but I was like, that's fairly factual, consistent evidence there now from a scan. I think that's real. Or like, I was told by one doctor, like, to like just go on holiday, relax, drink loads of wine, have sex, and have a baby. Like, do you know, as if to go, just go buy, like, you know, yourself a new pair of shoes. I was like, well, I don't drink wine. And then I was like, that's like, do you know, maybe they were more like kind of in the relax. Like, I was definitely, I have more of a perspective now where I'm kind of like, do you know what? I don't take every person's doctor as Bible. Maybe I need to see a second, third, 100th opinion. Back then, I was kind of like, did they actually just say it? Then I was like, bloody hell. I was like, really? Like, really? Did you just say that? But I like, you know, and that definitely annoyed me, of course. Like, I mean, if someone should be like, are you actually serious? Did you just say that? But like, now I'm kind of like, it kind of just gave me the awareness to maybe like, Amy, you know, might have to go to another opinion, or like that, maybe you have to go abroad. But yeah, I think even if someone listened to this, like, just, you might have painful periods, that does not mean you have endometriosis as well. Some, like, you can have painful periods, so don't think either, oh my God, my periods are really painful, that means I have this. Like, it doesn't. But it might just even be a case that it warrants like just maybe further investigation, or to go down that path maybe for yourself. Because I'm always like, someone told me like a long time ago, and it kind of was like a bit of tough love, but it was the truth. They're like, Amy, you're gonna have to be the CEO of your own health, end of. And I was like, and I
I'm
was
gonna
just
give that
like,
a chat.
yeah.
That's very, very important.
And they were like, you know, they're like, that's just the reality. And I was like, because, you know, you're like, and like, you can't feel like, I have definitely been in pity party Amy mode, like, anyone, like, 100%. Like, I wasn't like this, like, oh yeah, I'm just going to go to Romania. Like, you know, like, I had family support me, like, I had a partner at the time that supported me. Like it takes a whole, like, it's huge. Like, you know, I wouldn't have done it without them. Like, I really wouldn't have in that case. And there's sometimes where I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what, like, where am I going? Like, what's going to happen? Or if you're having a really bad pain, like, you say, if you're having really bad, like, mental health, you know, you're just feeling a bit crap, like we all do, because it's, you're just a human. Like, so it wasn't like I just went on this big like journey and I had it all figured out, like, far from it. And I always say, like, it feels like you take a mortgage out in your house, because like, it can be expensive. Like, it really can, in terms of like surgery costs, or like trial and error. Like, there is, like, I have invested so much in, but I still am like, I love my body. Like, it's trying to even to get to be like, you know, like, it's my body. It's like, I, you know, it's the body I'm in. I can't change it. It's what I have until the day I take my last breath. That's it. So like, it has to do me. So I was kind of like, yeah, it's my body. Like, I have to, like, as much, again, and I always say, everyone, we come from different budgets, different backgrounds, different supports. So it's not a case of like, oh yeah, just spend all your money. You know, like, I understand that as well. Like, it's very unique and individual. But I suppose it's just like, maybe not to give up hope, or there are like there are other women out there that maybe have gone through something similar, or that you can reach out to, or there are like there's some amazing, like I'm going to say holistic practitioners. They're doing some incredible work, and not even just for endometriosis, women maybe that are on like just other maybe dynamics with their womb, or even just being kind of going into their body. Like there's actually an incredible pool of like people, healers, therapists, whatever kind of you want to call them. And again, not saying that this is going to cure you or fix you, but it's like if it's a supportive tool that maybe and it might resonate with you. I know the people that probably listen to your podcast, Care, are open-minded. I said I understand it's not going to be everyone's cup of tea, and they maybe need the very black and white, like this is medical, this is the treatment, and that's it, and that's totally okay too. I always say like you have to do you, because that's all, you know,
bring
life
it back
is
to you're the CEO of your own.
You're the CEO, like so that you are the CEO of your own health. I was like it is so true, like because I always say like you are going to feel the pain, you're going to feel like whatever surgeries or treatments, like the knock-on effects, well it's you that's going to feel it, like you know someone else can sympathize, but it's like it's you at the end of the day, and no one can feel that for you, only you. So it's like checking in, we're like what sits well with you, or what is aligned with me, and sometimes you have to make hard decisions, or maybe you have to go on that medication, and that's the best at that time. So it's not to like, because I suppose I was very holistic as well. I was like, well I can't be taken, like my head was like, oh I nearly failed if I'm taking a painkiller, but sometimes like no, I need to take a painkiller, I'm going to take a painkiller, like I'm not going to, like I was nearly like cop on Amy, like get out of that mind frame, just be more compassionate to yourself, you're still like human.
Well, I think you most definitely are a testament to listening to that voice that got that was
oh I always like that day
you
when I was
the
in
way.
The hospital, when it was kind of like this like it was my, and at the time I can't, like on reflection I was like it was my gut it was like my inner compass instinct, because it was screaming at me, like, and I remember even the nurse kind of like, because the doctor was there, and the nurse was obviously, that's the way it goes in the hospital, but she was kind of, when I said like I'm going to choose my mental health right now over my reproductive health, I was like, so I take your advice then, but I'm going to have to go against it. And I even remember her looking at me with like a little cheeky smile, kind of being like,
wander.
Yeah, like kind of like, again, I don't think someone has said that, and I wasn't saying in arrogant way or anything, but I was kind of like, I don't know, like I said, I'm still going to need medical help. It wasn't like I was at that, but I was like, but this line of it at the minute, that doesn't sit right. So it was like listening to that.
Do you know how strong and amazing, like from me listening to that, I keep thinking of that 13-year-old girl.
Oh yeah, I keep going back, I do be like, and like I was thinking like we've an inner child, and it was just like I was like, yeah, like she was just like, I think I do it for her more than I, because it was just like, I said, I would never want a 13-year-old, like, or 14-year-old to go through that. Like, no child, like, you should have, like, you can't obviously wrap someone in bubble wrap, but like, to that, like, to go through it, like, that was trauma. Like, that was, I can't explain otherwise. Like, that was, and like, obviously, it was my body that went through that, but like, I'm still like, I got through it. Like, there was a part of me, like I nearly do feel like it was like a near death experience, because like I could feel, I said when I was black and out, I could feel myself like being pulled somewhere. Like I could feel this like kind of like nearly like something's like, just come with me, Amy. And then Prime was also like, I'm 13, I'm too young. But I was also like, but like, am I going to bleed to death? So am I just like, I just remember like a pull of like, I can't do this anymore. But then I'm also like, I'm too young, like there has to be something else. So it was kind of like,
I don't know, can you, as you're doing this, I can feel every so often, I feel a rush of tingles, energy. Can you feel it as well? And especially when you said that in the bathroom and you asked
oh,
for help,
I
was like, ooh.
I don't even think I don't think I even said the words out, because I was so like, obviously just out of it, because I was like, I felt like I was losing my life quite literally. And I remember just like, I remember someone or something can just save me, come and help me. And it just was like,
I think when we had this chat a few weeks ago and you've shared some of this with me, I left and I was like, okay, no, this lady has work here to do. I was like, she's going to be an advocate or speak up. And for me, from anyone who I brought onto this podcast or even my own journey with grief and loss, I think people don't want, how do I say this? We need the medical people, right?
Absolutely. I said, I wouldn't be here without it 100 million percent, like all the way, 100%.
But the likes of you give people hope. or the likes of me, someone who is going to share the whole journey, the messiness.
Yeah, because like I know even like talking about someone saying the word period and blood, I mean, I was like, even when I was a teenager, like, and that happened to me, like, I still always felt like if someone asked, I'd be kind of open. I was kind of like, well, sure, look at like whoever created us humans. I was like, women menstruate. If it was the round of men menstruated, that would be it too. I was like, not that I was there like when everyone was having dinner or like period, but like, I was nothing like that. But if it came up, I just be like, sure, like, it's human. It's like we all go to the toilet. Everyone farts. I was like, it's just like it's just being a human. I was always kind of just open. I was like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But like, I know so many like just couldn't go there. Even like when I was back in school, like I went to an all girls school, so naturally menstrual cycles were like that was an ongoing cyclical thing. But like, no one ever talked about it. I remember people would say, "Oh, Tom has come," and I was like, "Who is Tom?" And they'd be like, "Time of month," and I was, or like Aunt Flo, or like the plague, like all these words. I was just like, I was like, you know, like
I was one of them in
but
school.
Like, that's all we, like, say. Yeah, no, but like, and I remember you'd be stuffing like your tampon, like, and that was an all girls school, so it wasn't like there was boys there. You'd be thinking, oh, they're going to take the piss out of me, so I have to. But like, there was just such a level. I felt like of shame. Even like, I couldn't even tell people I went to hospital. Like, I was obviously like that time in the gynecological ward, because obviously that's where I was put. Like, I couldn't even say that to people. Like, I just felt so embarrassed that, like, I was like, that's what my first experience of a menstrual cycle, like, that, like, I had to be taken to hospital. I just felt so shamed. And I was just like, but that was just the narrative that, like, we grew up with. Yeah. So, like, I was like, even though a part of me always wanted a bit more, but I was like, that's what it's like. So even if people just, like, again, it's not, you're not talking about it all the time. And I know some people, it's completely uncomfortable and they don't want it and they want to hide it. And that's that each to their own as well. But I think it's just more like, I'm kind of like just more a little bit awareness. Yeah. Again, it's not like, you know, it just is what it is. I suppose it's just human nature. I was like, it's how, you know, life comes from the womb. All, you know, I just, I was always like, but sure, like, it's just human nature. Yeah. I don't know. I always thought really simply. But then I was like, not everyone does. So I mean, maybe like, you know,
that's, but this okay is too. Where we're the conversations are opening. And
yeah, and I'm sure it's definitely, I even remember like from primary school or secondary school, like learning about periods in TY was told, like, you get pregnant at any time if you have unprotected sex, which clearly isn't the case, because there's only a certain amount of days when it's when you ovulate. Yeah. So I was like, I'm sure. I was like, oh my gosh, like everyone, all of my friends, like, you get pregnant anytime, but that's not the case. I was like, if you have pain, just take painkiller. Never heard of like endometriosis or like polycystic ovarian, like nothing. It was just like, you get on with it, you don't talk about it, take a painkiller, and you can get pregnant anytime. And that's all you need to know. And like that was it. And I was like, I remember, like, surely, like, there's a bit, because even from my first, I was like, well, mine wasn't really like that. So surely there must be more to the story. But again, that's all we were told.
Yeah.
So like, when that's all you're told and that's what your framework is, sure, that molds you into, like, that's the narrative. So that's only natural. But I do think it's probably like in this day and age, I mean, like, with technology and social media, like, I mean, I suppose like 13 or 14 year olds are probably way more ahead of it than like when I was 13 or 14. Like, they just have to be because of that dynamic. But there is more and more, like more and more people seem to have, like, endometriosis. There just seems to be, it's getting more, even if they were common, but it is still that kind of way. There is more imbalances or like conditions or illnesses like that coming, like, that people are being diagnosed with them. Because, like, it used to take, I don't know if it still does, but it was like 9 years it takes to get diagnosed with endometriosis. That was the average. Yeah. I don't know if that's still the case, but like, I was like, 9 years is huge. Yeah. Or for a lot of women, if you can have no symptoms either. So that's why I mean, it can be so unique. It's when they go to, maybe they're starting a family. Yeah. And then if nothing's happening, and then there's investigation, maybe like a laparoscopic, or, you know, something's being done for an examination. And then it's like, oh, you have endometriosis. Yeah. So again, it might be until maybe someone's at the family planning stage of their life, or they're going down that path or choosing to, that maybe something like that's brought to the light. So it's, as I said, it's so varied. I couldn't tell you have X, Y, and Z symptom, this means your endometriosis. Yeah. Even the stages of it, whether it's like stage 1, 2, 3, 4, someone could have stage 1 and be in diabolical pain. Some could have stage 4 and have no pain. So it's so varied. Like, it is so individual.
Yeah.
That's kind of like it's not like a mystery of it, but it's not like, you know, textbook standard
Yeah,
here.
and
This is,
everyone is
yeah, everyone
different
is
and
different, but it's just, I suppose, like tuning into your own body or something. Maybe it's like heaviness of your like menstrual cycle or pain, or I don't know, something. Like if it's something maybe that maybe it's been niggling at you, or you're thinking this isn't sitting right, maybe it needs like further investigation. Yeah.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
You're very
I'm going to
welcome.
get you to end it
Yeah, I know,
on
I'd ramble on for
share.
ages.
No, this is amazing, but I want you to end it on, I suppose, where people can find out about you and
Yeah.
how, because I suppose your own journey has brought you into the
Yeah,
holistic
yeah. So
world.
like I like obviously, so I'm on Instagram is probably like my main platform. So and I only changed my name, so Amy Mavani Holistics. Yes, that's it. Yeah, because I was like, I changed it this week, so I was like, don't say the other one because that doesn't exist anymore. And yeah, like I suppose I do like reflexology, energy healing, yoga, and I was like, I'm based in Sligo, that's where I'm from. So yeah, so if you go from that page and you can see then, I suppose, what I'm about to say in a very cheesy way, but just yeah, so that's kind of where I am. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think anyone who listens to this, it'll be very clear that Amy is only getting going here. She,
Yeah.
like, literally, I suppose, for my own, even less talking to you, I know very little about
Yeah,
endometriosis.
and it's like
Like,
anything, unless maybe it comes knocking on your door, like, or any, of course, like it's only natural. Like if someone else had another condition, I probably wouldn't have a clue unless I went through it. It's just like that's a natural human response. I'm sure like it's the same when people grief in your story with Dave, and like they're probably like, you probably have people come up to you like if they might have something similar, but until it happens, it's like you don't think about it. And you couldn't, because sure, you wouldn't get out of bed in the morning if you're thinking like, but if I lost this person, or if this health condition, or if I lost this money, or do you know, you wouldn't get out of bed. Your head would be fried. Like, but it's like until like something happens.
And it's
Yeah.
the empathy bit then as
Yeah, it's
well,
the
isn't it?
empathy bit. Yeah.
And I know you're gonna help so many. I keep when you were talking there and was thinking about you going through the doors off into the surgery by yourself. And for me, I just think that's so symbolic because you were so strong. You are so strong, so determined. You were persistent in your path and you were courageous and you got to where you need to be because you listened to you. And I know I've done lots of podcasts about listening, following the flow, trusting. And at the end of the day, we can only listen to ourselves, you
Oh,
know.
absolutely. And you can only tell like your own story. And I said, everyone has a story. That's kind of the beauty of life, isn't it? Like everyone has a story, even if it's someone went through loss or grief, or maybe someone has endometriosis, but it could be a completely different story because they're them and I'm me. So we couldn't possibly have the same story.
And we're all walking the same path with
Yeah, exactly. We are. Yeah.
different challenges.
Yeah.
I do feel, I don't know what this resonate with you. I suppose I've shared this before that I believe my soul chose this path in order to help others. Would you feel that even sharing
In
this
a weird
today?
way, yeah. Like sometimes even like the awareness to like kind of like process stuff. Like I suppose a lot of time, and this isn't me being like egotistic or anything, but some people like dream like you're a very like wise old soul or like an old owl or something. And I'm like, I don't know if that's like, I'm gonna take that as a compliment, but like I actually kind of feel like I am an old soul or something. Like I do feel like I am no way perfect, and like, oh my goodness, like faults galore, 100%. Like anyone that knows me will tell you that. But like I do feel like I have like, I don't know, like a level of awareness or something. And I feel like that's, so I was like, if I didn't have endometriosis, like would I be dropping it, even like the work I do, whether it's like working with some like I women, it's something that is a lot of women that come to me, maybe they're on a fertility journey or there's something going on. Like I was like, would I even drop that words into my body and how I'm feeling, or like process and stuff? And I'm not a psychologist or a counselor and that, but it's just even like that awareness kind of like I know you say like you kind of you have to feel it to heal it. And I was like, you do like, and I was like, and I do, and like in a nearly in a weird way, I'm like, maybe I did. And people are like, would you really choose? I was like, I said I would choose it, but maybe on a soul contract level or something. Like, and I know we are, like, we're quite open-minded and spiritual, like, and I, so, like, we can, like, have that awareness to go. There's some people like, oh, you're mad.
You're a bit crazy and mad.
But, like, and you said, like, who's normal? Like, what is normal? So I was like, there's always a bit of something there. But, like, yeah, I do. I feel like something here, like, that it partially chose something. Because I'm also thinking, like, if something big impacts your life, not saying like, you know, like, oh, I chose to have an illness, or I chose, like, it's not like that. It's like so much, like, no way, it's not that at all, not coming from that perspective at all. But it's kind of like, I suppose, trying to see, like, well, this did happen to me, so how can I, like, utilize or maybe try and, like, make it? And maybe because, like, we both are social care, like, we're both very empathic, so maybe, like, that journey, I'm always trying to be of care and of service. I think maybe even as I transition in, like, whether it's holistic well-being or just saying that in a broad term, but it's kind of like to be of service, but in a different caring way. Yeah. Like, and I know you're the exact same as well. Like, if you can tell, you meet people and you know that they're like, they're empathic or they're caring. Like, like you just know, you can feel it. You can.
Yeah.
And like, and that's for people that aren't either. Like, that's okay too. Yeah. I always say, like, each to their own.
We're all doing our best.
I was like, I'd be the worst, like, businesswoman. I would be like, sure, have that. For, like, I would. I'd actually, like, you know, like, that would, where some people have that kind of person. And you, like, they're like, oh my God, that's, like, you are just excelling in that. Like, you just, that's you. You that. Whereas I'd be like, I'd be the worst in the world, so I don't want to give anything for free. And I'm like, oh, it's okay. Do you know that kind of way? Like, because that's just my personality.
Yeah.
So I can only be like me.
Yeah. And you keep being you. And thank you so, so much.
And thank you so much. And I always even say, like, I'm like last year, Cara, when I was going to, like, your that 6 week, like, Louise Hayes, I always say, like, I went to Cara for, like, I was going through a rough patch and I just was feeling really, like, I suppose, brokenhearted. And I went to Cara for, like, it was Reiki, but it nearly felt like Reiki Rahani just combined. And it just, like, it was just like my heart just felt so, like, nourished and just, like, kind of supported. And then Kira was doing, like, your 6 week, your, like,
healer
life.
Yeah.
And I remember it was, like, in October. So it was kind of like the depths of winter, autumn. And I, like, you know, it was dull and dreary that time of year. And I remember, like, I was staying in, like, my lovely friend's house that, like, let me stay with her. And I drive over to, like, Kira's cabin, my little car. And it was just like, I always say, like, it came at just the right time. It's like you just helped me, like, pick the pieces of myself back together. So I'll always be so grateful for you for that. God. Like, yeah, honestly. So thank you.
Thank you. Oh, and we'll end it on.
Yeah, because we've been
you're
talking.
The CEO. You're the CEO of your own health, your well-being, your mental health. And thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.